We're already in Romans chapter 10. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit. I'm going to continue to talk about the revelation of hearing. But I want to talk more this morning about the protecting your place of hearing. Protecting your place of hearing. Because that's important this morning. And I'm not going to be up here long, I guess. That's my disclaimer. I said, I guess. We need to be able to hear by the Holy Spirit to receive faith for anything. Salvation is just not you getting born again. Salvation is inclusive of everything, every aspect of your life. If your money is broke, it needs to be saved. The Word of God has the answer for your broke wallet. The Word of God has the answer for your broke family. Whatever is broken in your life, the Word has the answer. But we got to be able to hear it by the Spirit of faith. We got to hear it by the Holy Spirit, rather, to obtain faith for it. So that means I got to spend time doing something with this Word other than Sunday and Wednesday. Go down to verse 13 since you're already in Romans 10. Hallelujah. See, we like hearing new stuff. You need to grab hold of what has already been taught you and put that in your life. You know, I was sharing with Pastor DJ just before service started. A lot of people, the victories they have, they never got them on their own. So they still don't know how to fight. Because if I help you fight and you don't learn how to fight, in between your next fight, you're going to think somebody always supposed to stand up for you and fight for you. You'll make it a lifestyle of always needing somebody to fight for you because you don't have any victories of your own. Now, each situation is designed when you encounter something, you're supposed to take this word and win. And if you need aid, you're supposed to ask for it. But you're supposed to recognize when you need help versus when you're lazy. We got a lot of lazy Christians. They don't want to pray. They want you to do their praying. I've had a few of those in my life. How about you? They want me to stay up all night praying for their cause when they're not praying. What do you think I'm supposed to do? I believe in the prayer of agreement. All right. Are you there? Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word shall mean must be. You cannot call upon the name of the Lord in faith and he not answer you. So don't lie on the Lord and say, I prayed and the Lord didn't answer me. No, you didn't talk to him in faith. Because this scripture just said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And so he said, first of all, you got to believe. And he said, now, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? See, this is the problem we have in a lot of our churches today. People are going to houses, they are packed out, but they are not hearing the word of faith. They're hearing entertainment. That doesn't build your faith. When you leave there, it gives you no ammunition against your enemy. Oh, you had a thrill and a frill. The choir sang your song. And they had a sweet service. When you leave, you're still defeated. Because you were not afforded ammunition, which is a word of faith that's supposed to be preached in every church. Not entertainment. He says, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody got to be preaching this word of faith. That means you got to be in an environment where the word of faith is being preached. Now see, if the word of faith is being preached and you know you're not hearing the word of faith in your environment, why you keep sitting there? Because that's your responsibility. To get into the right place where you can hear the word of faith. Mm. All right, watch this. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So you, this gospel you're hearing this morning, you ought to love it and embrace it. Why? Because my feet are beautiful because I'm bringing you the word of faith. Because the word of faith not necessarily coincide with what you feel. Because one moment you feel like a nut, the next moment you may not. Almond joys got nuts, mounds don't. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, so he's saying, everybody standing in the pulpit have not obeyed the gospel. Because how can you get faith for healing if healing is never taught in your environment? How can you get faith for prosperity if it's never taught in your environment? How can you get faith for a good family if it's not taught in your environment? Because if the preacher is not preaching it, you can't have faith for it. Oh, Jesus. This is why you got to be in a good word church. Because if where you are, they're not preaching, they're just preaching something to make it sound like they know the Bible. Okay, Daniel and the lion's den, how many times you need to hear that one? How does that relate to my everyday life? Even though that's a very strong lesson there that can actually add to your faith. But does your pastor know how to make that relevant to your life today? Or that just a good sermon? He says, this is how you get born. This is how you get salvation. You got to be where the word is being preached. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, being home, you can study the word, and you're going to learn a lot by studying on your own. But God has set it up. Say, God set it up. There are going to be some things you can't unravel in you without a preacher explaining it. Because that's the way God set it up. Or else there would be no need for pastors and teachers, evangelists and prophets and apostles. There would be no need for them. But God set it up so that you don't hear everything in the house by yourself. So in order to receive Jesus, the gospel had to be preached. How many of you know that? Somebody preached the gospel to you if you are born again. You heard it, believed it, and received it. Somebody had to preach it. This is why you need to get real dogmatic about protecting your place of hearing, because that's how salvation comes in anything in your life. So you had to hear a word on faith for salvation to come. So we are encouraged to harden not our hearts when we hear the gospel preached. You're not supposed to sit here and automatically resist. I'm doing something to my own heart when I resist deliberately because I just don't want to be bothered. I don't want the gospel yet. I'm doing something to my own heart. I am causing my heart to be calloused over. Do you know, you ever had a callus on your foot or your hands where you use them so much you get calloused? Crafters know what I'm talking about. If you craft a lot, you get calluses sometimes on your hand. Musicians understand what I'm talking about. It just happens because you keep using that same spot all the time. Well, when you deliberately resist the preaching of the word, you are creating a callus over your heart. What am I doing? You're making it more difficult for God to reach you. So we are encouraged. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 7 and 8. I'm encouraging you this morning. Don't let the devil create a resistance in you against the taught word. Because that's one of the things that the devil tried to do in society today, is to make us resist hearing the truth. You know, I was sharing with somebody, that Mark Twain made this statement. Now, Mark Twain been gone a long time, but the statement's still true. He said, it's easier to fool somebody than to convince them that they've been fooled. And it's still true today. It's difficult to convince people that you've been lied to once they bought the lie. It's difficult to bring them into a place of truth because they think they know truth. He says in Hebrews 3, verses 7 and 8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear, not just with this natural outer ear, if you will hear in your heart his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. He said, don't be like the Israelites. And God had to kill off a whole generation of people. Anybody that was above 20 died because they refused to hear. Hearing is important. Look at Hebrews 11 while you're there. We going somewhere with this morning. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 verse 6. We call this the Hall of Faith. This chapter is known as the Hall of Faith. But hearing is so important to your development. But without faith, now we just found out, how does faith come? By hearing. Wait a minute. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word of faith. Not just the word of God, the word of faith. Because I can teach you something out of the Bible that has no faith in it. I can teach you all the wells and all the woes of Job. There's no faith in that. That wasn't the lesson you're supposed to learn. Am I messing with somebody's sacred cow this morning? I know we done got past Job in here, right? Look at verse 6 of Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible, say impossible, to please God or to please him. Wait. So faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? I'm going to keep talking to y'all. Got to talk to me this morning. Say it out loud. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of faith. What pleases God? Faith. Faith is the only thing that pleases God. Listen to me. Not your hope so, not your wishing, not your well-meaning twos. Only faith pleases God. So without faith, you can't please him. We need to get that in our mind and in our heart, that if there is no faith, God is not pleased. Let me finish. For he that cometh to God must believe. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So whatever you can do without faith, God is not pleased with it. We've established a lot of things in our life without faith. Doesn't mean God pleased with it just because you're able to do it. Ooh, it's going to make you rethink some things in your life. Am I really operating in faith, or am I just operating out of my skill? Because I got a skill for this, but do I have faith that's going to honor God in this? Because God looking for faith, not your skill. He looking for your faith, not your skill. I've been around some really skilled people. I've been around some eloquent speakers. But God was looking for faith. And he'll take a simple country bumpkin like me because I believe. He said he'll take the simple things and confound the wise. So whatever we can do without faith, God is not pleased with it. Therefore, we must protect the place that faith comes. So where is that place? That place is your heart. That's where faith comes. It comes to your heart. Listen, when we protect the place of hearing, which is the heart, and faith comes, it allows God to be all he desires to be unto us. Because now he got a place of a person that believes. Listen, when you don't put a resistance, you know, when somebody trying to learn how to swim, the coach will tell you what? Don't fight. Because they know your resistance will get you what? Drowned. And you might drown the coach trying to save you because you are resisting. And he said, just relax, relax, relax. Why? Because now faith got to come there. You got to trust the coach. You're either going to trust him or you're going to resist him. If you trust him, you'll learn how to swim. If you resist him, you're going to fail at swimming. See how easy that was to learn? So that place is your heart. That's where faith comes. Faith doesn't come to your head. It comes to your heart. That's the house that's been commanded to house faith, your heart. I know I'm going slow. I know y'all want me to get excited, but today you're going to learn faith. And you're going to learn how to protect it, at least part of it anyway. Faith in God keeps us being all that we can be unto God. See, it goes both ways. When I believe God, guess what? I get to be all I can be unto him because I believe him. And he gets to be all the God he desires to be unto me because I believe him. See, we don't have the hiccups when you trust one another. When a couple trust one another, it's not a lot of hiccups and downtime in that marriage. Do you go through stuff? We're not talking about challenges. I said the marriage itself don't have a lot of hiccups and we got to put fires out every other week. No. Because if trust is really there, if I say to you, baby, look, I think you need to change something. It's not an offensive move. It's to help you be better. You should know that's my heart. I'm not there to offend you. I'm there to help you better, to be better. If we don't know our God well enough, when God says change direction, we're going to get offended and your faith quit working. Because offended people don't have faith. You need to get over that. But she said, I believe she got faith. No, not if she's walking in offense. Her faith is not working. His faith is not working. Because our faith in God keeps us being all that we can be unto God. So then faith allows God to be the best he can be unto us. And he wants to be the best, the greatest. Hallelujah. Are you learning? Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. See, it's my responsibility to guard my heart. And how do I protect it? I protect it with the word. And then I keep it from environments that would damage it. If you know your doctor told you you can no longer eat pork because it'll go against your heart, you got a bad heart condition, and eating certain things would destroy your heart, you think you're going to keep eating it? I mean, you're not supposed to, but do people do it? And then when they get sicker, they want to blame the doctor. No, you just disobeyed. Eating a whole bunch of junk food that you don't have to eat. If you don't buy the cookies can't be in the house. The cookies didn't walk in your pantry all by themselves. How many of y'all know that? Somebody had to go to the grocery store and pick them up, pay for them, and bring them home. So don't tell me the cookies tempting you. If you didn't put them in the house, you can't eat them. See, we lie to our own self. That's why we can't have faith, because we keep lying to ourselves. Somebody tell you sodas are bad for you, they'll ruin your kidneys, and you keep right on drinking them. See, who are you going to blame when your kidneys go out? If I give you a health tip and tell you how bad a soda is, and then you keep right on, you decide, you know what, I like my soda, I'm going to drink one once a week. That once a week going to kill you because you're in disobedience. See, you know better. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I had to change a whole lot of stuff about my life. Because when the truth came, I couldn't hide away because truth came. See, now I can't lie to myself. When I was ignorant, that's why a lot of people stay in those places, because they don't want to hear the truth. Because they had to change. And as long as they're ignorant, although the devil is beating them up, killing them, causing them to die prematurely, all that kind of stuff, but that's where they want to go, and you know, hey, that's their bag. They had to answer to God for how they believe and not believe. Amen? Are you at Romans 1? Look at verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. What's the power? So the gospel has to be preached. Because where is the power? In the gospel. Oh, Jesus. It is the power of God unto what? Salvation. To everyone that do what? Believe. So when I hear the gospel preached and I decide I'm going to believe it, guess what comes in my life? Salvation. Whatever area I need salvation in, if I would apply this principle right here, this is a powerful principle. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power. The power is in the gospel. Come on, say that. The power is in the gospel. So when you're asking for more power, you're asking for more of the gospel. Because that's where the power is. It's in the word of faith that we preach. He says, unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein where? In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So how does the gospel, the righteousness of God get revealed to you? In the gospel. We got too many people depending on dreams and visitations and, you know, and you got to have a dream and somebody got to give you a word of prophecy every week. No, you need to get the gospel in you. That is not safe to depend on somebody giving you a word directly to you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When I was coming up, they you know, somebody was always trying to speak into your life. The Lord gave me a word for you. And you look at them and you say, well, that word need to work on you. Apply it. Now, I'm not saying that can't happen, because that does happen, but that's not something we depend on to run our lives. The gospel is what we depend on. Wake up. Don't let the devil put you to sleep on this message, because you're going to need it when you walk out this door. You're going to need this, because y'all want me to hoop and holler. I'm not hooping and hollering today. You have to do that at home. Or you can amen the word and wake up. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just. shall live by faith. Okay, that's a commandment. The just, whenever you see shall, it means must. The just must live. You don't have an option. You must live by faith. This is not an option in the kingdom. For you to be born again and not live by faith is to say you never got born again. Because you're not going to live any better than the sinner who does not know God. And we're supposed to be a cut above. So guarding or safekeeping our hearts is our responsibility. You don't have to turn there, but according to Genesis 2, verses 13 through 17, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, that was the physical Garden Eden, but today we don't have a physical Garden Eden. But where is your Eden? It's your heart. That's the secret place of the Lord God. That's why you've been commanded to protect it. It is where God comes and commune with you. And it's the only place where faith has been commanded to go. This is why you have the responsibility of protecting it. Just like Adam had. He was supposed to guard it and keep it. Preserve it. He says, of all the trees in the garden you can eat, but don't eat this one over here. And just like kids, your dad and mom said, don't touch it. And it's something about that spirit of rebellion that said, I just got to try it. Even if I'm going to get a whipping. Because you got a good parent, they're going to tear your butt up. Because you disobeyed. Now you can't go nowhere near it. Because once they whip you, now you've really been barred from it. Where they might have introduced you to it in their timing. But you weren't mature enough to handle it on your own. Oh, Jesus. Sometimes we can think we're growner than we are. He says, but of the tree of, look at verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge, well, you're not there, you're not reading, I'm going to read it. Knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day, say in the day. He didn't say next year. He said, for in the day that you eat it, thou shalt surely die. So who died? The physical man didn't die. What died? His spirit died. And it cut off all communion with God. He forgot to protect the place of hearing. So we see our heart is our garden or the secret place that God comes to talk with us. So now that place should be a place with nothing else in it but God. It shouldn't have a lot of rumbling and tumbling and fears and foes in it. That means somebody put some tares in the garden that shouldn't be there. When you're trying to get a wheat crop, the tares. Now, I have an assignment that when I recognize the tear, I got to get rid of it. I have to get rid of fear, doubt, and unbelief. A lot of Christians walk in so much fear. They're renaming it so they won't say they're afraid. Sound like something the world would do. My assignment is to protect my heart. Don't you ever forget that one. Because if you let contaminants into your heart, it's going to grow because it's good soil. Your heart is very fertile soil. It'll grow whatever you put in it. That's something you may not know about your heart, but it'll grow whatever you put in it. Because it's very fertile. I was watching this lady on YouTube. And I'm going like, girl, you look like you about 35. What you doing with 9 kids? Help us, Jesus, you fertile. Somebody is fertile. It must have been morning. Jesus, 9. But she good at what she does. She's a good mama. Her husband made sure she ain't got to work. And I'm going like, hey, she teaching them about Jesus. They homeschool. See what I'm saying? So, hey, I might make fun of it, but I like the lifestyle they live. He makes enough money that he can afford 9 kids. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what I say. So what happens when our heart has got contaminants in it? Turn your Bibles to Genesis 3 because you had to read this along with me. Chapter 3, look at verse 6. You got it? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, who saw it? She looked at it and said, I think I can make me a roast out of this today. Mm-hmm. And put a salad on the side and a baked potato. And we have a good meal. I'm going to fix Adam something really special. Adam may not have had roast at that time, but she looked at it and she thought it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. I mean, you know, food, if it's put on the plate right, it can be very good to look at. I've gone to some restaurants where the food looks so good, you don't even hardly want to eat it. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. So now she looking at it beyond food. She looking at it as a source of wisdom and not what she was called to do. So that's that little tree over there. You know, when our kids was coming up, my kids today still make fun of me, but do I care? No. But they said we couldn't go in the front room. They could go in there, you just weren't going to play in there. It's a difference. They were not barred from the front room. You're not going there jumping on my couch in the front room. The Lord didn't tell them they couldn't go and look at the tree. He told them what? Don't eat from it. What y'all laughing over there? I hear my kids snickering, see? Hey, that's right. When you buy good furniture, which one of y'all want to pay $1,000 for furniture and then let your kids jump on it? Something wrong with you and not the kid. It doesn't work like that. What's the point? You need to go and get you some secondhand furniture until your kids get up and go out the house if you're not going to train them. Because you never have anything of substance. They had a room to play in. They had a family room. We had furniture for the family room they could jump on all day. It was designed for kids. Not my front room. You got the difference? And it's not because they couldn't go in it. You can't play in it. Don't touch it like that. They didn't have no money to replace nothing. So we see that the woman disobeys because now she's taking on the desire that she did not have before. She's taking on the fruit. But look, going down to verse, and let's see what happens when they begin to stop hearing from the inside. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew, say they knew. How did they know they were naked? The eyes were open, but it was something else about the knowing that they were naked. Because they could sense it from the inside. They could not hear God on the inside anymore. You ever have an encounter with God and he begin to talk to you from the inside? You know when he's not talking. And they knew he was no longer talking from the inside. See, they were used to him talking to them from the inside. Now listen what happened. And they said, Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of God, of the Lord God, walking in the garden. And they used to hear it in their heart. Now they're hearing it from the outside. They failed to protect the place of hearing. So now they can't hear God from the inside. God's not going to talk through all this calamity stuff that y'all dealing with. He's going to talk to your heart. And he'll give you instructions. But now they got a dilemma, because now they can't communicate with God the way they used to. They were used to hearing God in the still voice. That's the inner man. And they no longer have that afforded them. They heard him walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Why are you hiding if you are right with God? Why is now the presence of God, they're hiding themselves from the very one they say they used to love? Because they can't hear him. Man, disobedience will block your hearing. Watch this. And the Lord started talking to the man. You know the story. And Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden, verse 10, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, and God said to Adam, who told you that you was naked? There was a knowing on the inside. Something is missing now that I'm used to having. It's no longer present. I can't hear God. I can't hear God. I can't hear God. Woo. So he began to point the blame at the woman. The woman blames the serpent. The serpent blames everybody. And God cursed the serpent. And then he tells the woman and the man what their experience in life is going to be without him. It's going to be difficult. When you can't hear God, your life is going to be difficult. So you got to protect that place of hearing. I know I'm getting ready to come to a close. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 6, real quick. Hebrews 4, getting ready to come to a close. Because it's all about our hearing. Because how does faith come? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of faith. Where is the power? In the gospel. So if the gospel not being preached, ain't no power. You got a lot of entertainment. You got a lot of flesh going on. But there's no power to heal the sick. There's no power to cast out demons. There's no power to bring deliverance when it's not being preached. This is why we had to pray for pastors, because they're going to be judged differently from the layman. Let us therefore, verse 1, fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto the Israelites, because it's talking about them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith was missing. Because why? They were resisting it. Whenever you resist the word, you can't have faith for it. You can't have faith for what you're resisting. Because you don't believe it. That's why you're resisting. Because you don't believe it. You can't have faith for what you don't believe. He says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. That, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they should enter into my rest, although the works were finished. Say, the works have been finished from the foundation of the world. Say that. See, so you're not having faith for works like that. We're working to get food, working to do this. And he said that those works have already been accomplished. Everything you need has already been done. I just read it to you. Didn't you read that? Are you reading out your Bible? He says, you're not going to enter into the rest Although everything you need has already been provided from the foundation of the world. Because without faith, you can't access it. You can't access provision without faith. So hearing is crucial, because how does faith come? By hearing what? And I'm going to close with this statement. How, remember that? That's the attitude. How I hear will determine what I will obey. Disobedience will stop you and I from hearing God's voice. So it's our assignment. If the Lord say the same, we'll pick it up next Sunday. It's important that we protect that place of hearing, because it's the only place that faith comes. I think you'll handle your heart a little bit different, because you understand that's the only place designed for faith.